Welcome to worship at Advent on this Sunday between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Just relax. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The first lesson this morning is from Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 to 14. The prophet Daniel sees God's coming judgment as well as his coming redemption for all people. I watched as thrones were put in place and the Ancient One sat down to judge. His clothing was as white as snow, his hair like whitest wool. He sat on a fiery throne with wheels of blazing fire, and a river of fire flowed from his presence. Millions of angels ministered to him, and 100 million stood to attend him. Then the court began its session, and the books were opened. I continued to watch because I could hear the little horn's boastful speech. I kept watching until the fourth beast was killed and its body was destroyed by fire. As for the three other beasts, their authority was taken from them, but they were allowed to live for a while longer. As my vision continued that night, I saw someone who looked like a man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. He was given authority, honor, and royal power over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race and nation and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It will never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed. The word of the Lord. The psalm for this morning is Psalm 93. It's printed on page 4 of your bulletin. Let's read responsibly at the asterisk. The Lord is King. He has put on splendid apparel.
The Lord has put on his apparel and girded himself with strength.
He has made the whole world so sure
that it cannot be moved.
Ever since the world began, your throne has been established.
You are from everlasting.
The waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up their voice.
The waters have lifted up their pounding waves.
Mightier than the sound of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea.
Mightier is the Lord who dwells on high.
Your testimonies are very sure.
Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever and forevermore.
The second lesson for this morning is from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. God in Jesus Christ, since his ascension, has not abandoned us to the evil of this world, but continues to guide us in the Holy Spirit, and he will come again to be with us forever. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him concerning the events that will happen soon. An angel was sent to God's servant John so that John could share the revelation with God's other servants. John faithfully reported the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, everything he saw. God blesses the one who reads this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to it and obey what he says. For the time is near when these things will happen. This letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the commander of all the rulers of the world. All praise to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us his kingdom and his priests who serve before God, his Father. Give to him everlasting glory. He rules forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the earth will weep because of him. Yes. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel of our Lord according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord
Christ. In two of the readings that John shared with us in Daniel and Revelation, we see visions of what's to come at the end of days. Just, it's remarkable. A part of what we heard was the Ancient of Days in Daniel and the Alpha and Omega in Revelation. The same one, obviously. And the millions upon millions of angels that are not seen in this sphere but are in the heavenly sphere. And a part of this season of the liturgical year is, as we approach Advent, is things will come to an end. And what I'll be reading from Mark chapter 11 will seem out of sequence. It's the story of Jesus going into Jerusalem on that time we celebrate as Palm Sunday. He is the light of the world, and he is now being revealed as that light in the streets of Jerusalem prior to his crucifixion. So this is a part of the presentation of what is to come and the fact that there is redemption and an end time to life as we know it. So from Mark 11, starting at verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and it will and will send it back to you here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway, and as they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat upon it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' Jesus entered Jerusalem, went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." The Gospel of the Lord. Last week in one of the readings from Hebrews 10, there was a reference to that time in the life of a believer when we were originally enlightened by the presence of the Lord in our lives, by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And I want to pick up on that theme this morning with the concept of looking at what it means to be enlightened and what it means to be light to others. When you think about Advent and that season that is just about ready to start, it's about the coming of light into the world. And it's interesting, in the New Testament, in 1 John, it says, God is light. In John 8 and 9, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And then the unbelievable thing in Matthew 5 is that the declaration that you are the light of the world. God is easy to understand. Jesus as the Son of God is easy to understand. But then to declare us as the light of the world, that's an amazing thing. God is light. Jesus is light. The believer is the light of the world. The believer is what Father God and Jesus Christ are, light. And to me, that's a part of what we were created to be in the world. It's a fascinating thing. I want to read from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So we are light. And I want to turn on my flashlight just for a second to show you a couple of things. Can you see better? Does that help? Of course not. Because this is a house of light. You are light. You are the light of the world. And when we're together, we don't need an extraneous source of light, because it is within us and it radiates out of us. It's a powerful reality. Where the light is needed is in dark places. Among believers, it's not a dark place. When we're together, we come from the same place and we understand the truth of God's word. Where light is needed is in the dark corners of the world. And so my core idea for today that I'd like you to reflect on is that you as a bearer of light are meant to impact the world with your light. Not with your impatience, not with your judgmentalism, but with your light. And that allows us to have a very positive impact, even though at times the message of our light isn't well received. You will know the story in our part of the nation of Johnny Appleseed in the past, who planted apple seeds so that apple trees could grow, so groves could come forth, so more seeds would fall into the ground and more trees would grow, and had a tremendous impact. We are to be like that with our lives, that we are to sow seeds of light in the sphere of influence that God has given us. It's a powerful reality. And as Advent, as a ministry, fulfills that function of being a spreader of light, a city set on a hill that can't be hidden, that function transmits to the world a continuous stream of spiritual energy. Sometimes we can look at ourselves and say, what impact could I possibly have? What difference can I make by the way I live? Well, Jesus said, you as a child of God are the light of the world. And if that radiant energy of the Holy Spirit is in your heart, then you can't help but have an impact, not simply in your prayer life, not just what happens at home, but who you are in the community, who you are wherever you go. You are a carrier, like Johnny Appleseed was in his day, but in a way that makes a huge difference. I was speaking with my friend this past week. I had mentioned last week, he is the pastor whose wife died unexpectedly, leaving five young newly adopted children. And him talking about now what his role in life is. Short term for himself, he's grieving. It's only been a little bit over a week. But he feels that his primary focus has to be a good dad for these five young children who, aside from being pulled out of their biological homes, now have lost their new mom. And so he can grieve on his own, but he needs to be a good dad for them, to give them security, and also to live in such a way that says, this is what it means to love Jesus. This is what it means to be a child of God, even when things are very difficult in your life. And so that's what he is trying to do. And then on his own time, grieving for the loss of the love of his life. And so that's a challenge. And when I talk about being light in the world, this doesn't mean that it only works when things are going good in your life. Sometimes we face surgery. Sometimes we face pain. Sometimes there are financial stresses. that come into our lives. Sometimes relationships are torn apart. But still, as believers, through all of those challenges, we are called to be carriers of light, that it matters how we live, the impact that our life has on other people is significant. And the truth is that when we talk about how we impact our society or our culture, people of goodwill on both sides will differ. Some will say that we just get involved in social ministry. We just we serve the poor. We clothe those who are naked, feed the hungry. And others say, no, we need to impact the culture in a more significant way. And Jesus is saying, I believe both, that we are called to take the full gospel to the people. Take, for example, outside of Scripture, you know the story of the Good Samaritan. But in our own city, St. Augustine has been maintaining a hunger center for over 40 years. This past Thanksgiving, they served over 20,000 people at their big location, at other locations, and took hundreds upon hundreds of meals to people who were shut in. Powerful impact. That's a part of being a light to the world. But the question is that all it means to share the gospel? Just to feed the hungry. The problem was that on Friday, those people would be hungry again. Isn't there more that we have to share with the world? When we lived on Long Island, our church went to the Bowery Salvation Army in a really dark part of the city of New York. And it was there to serve the homeless. I had called the director and asked, could he use volunteers for Thanksgiving to serve the meals? And he said to me, well, I'll be honest. We have no trouble staffing Thanksgiving. We have a waiting list. We have real trouble with Christmas Day. People don't want to come. So we volunteered for Christmas Day, loaded up our school bus, and fed hundreds of people. It was an exciting thing, and that became then a tradition. But a part of what was interesting, I'd also taken some of our youth group with us, and afterwards we asked to speak to the director. And one of the kids asked, and these were teenagers, asked, do people regularly come to know Jesus through this ministry? And he said, after a thoughtful silence, well, that really doesn't happen here. We see to the physical needs of the people. And then another young person said, but you're called the Salvation Army. Don't you bring people to Jesus? And he said, well, not really. That doesn't happen much. And so then a third kid said, would you mind when we come if we talk to the people about Jesus? And he said, well, no, that would be fine. And so that gave us permission to do that. And a part of what we talked about on the way home, that the gospel has to be more than about doing things that make you feel good, like feeding the hungry. That there has to be an element of understanding of what Jesus revealed himself to be. I read the gospel from Mark 11 about Jesus going into Jerusalem. We heard the two readings from Daniel and Revelation about the fact that there's an end time and there is a time of judgment and redemption. That's a part of the gospel story that needs to be shared. A friend of mine who went home to be with the Lord last year was a bank manager who loved the Lord, and he felt like a part of his job was to help people get out of financial trouble. And a part of what he did for customers who would come in, he would say, by the way, I'd like you to know that I'm a Christian and I pray over my patrons. And if there's anything you would like me to pray for, I'd be happy to do that. And by the dozens over the years, he prayed for people and blessed them with that kind of attention that you normally don't get from a banker. But he felt God had placed him there. And he never got a problem from corporate headquarters for what he did because people received it so well. He felt that his job was more than simply helping them out of financial problems to also help them with the spiritual part of their lives. So to me, that's a part of what I think is so important. And two points here in this passage from Matthew chapter 5. Let your light shine before men. The light refers, number one, to our character, to the way we live, that we are respectful of other people, we are respectful of the law. By the way we live, we don't allow darkness to distract us from who we are as God's people. We live openly and with joy because we understand what's to come beyond this life. The truth is, though, when you look at our world, there are many people who claim to be Christian who have very dimmed lights because they don't want to offend other people. And yet, when you look at Jesus' ministry, the Son of God, who is love and who is light, he offended many people. And ultimately, that led to his death. There are times of separation. Jesus even talked about that, that sometimes the word comes with a sword to separate even in families the truth from the lie. And as carriers of the light of the truth, it's important that we don't minimize what we believe and what we teach, that the gospel isn't the same for all, or the gospel isn't changed for every generation for different people. It's the same as from the day that Jesus revealed it. Shining your light before others means that there can be times of hostility. We read just this last week, or heard, about a young missionary who wanted to evangelize an island off of India. And in his attempt to go there, he was killed by an arrow shot by one of the tribesmen. They were very hostile to outsiders. His goal was, he had written in his journal beforehand, to share the love of Jesus, but he was killed for it. Not everyone will receive the fact that you believe that Jesus is Lord and that he's coming again. But we are not to minimize that for the sake of peace. We're to, as standard bearers, as light bearers, we're to speak the truth and live the truth. And the second point, we're to shine so that others may see. We are not to be secret disciples. Because a part of the life change that Jesus brings into our hearts and we express openly brings glory to the Father. And that is what our life is about. By the way we live, we are pointing to the one who is the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega. Sometimes that causes consternation with others. And I believe that Jesus is saying in other places in the gospel, let it be. Don't minimize your witness by the possibility of offense. There's a scripture where Jesus talks about this. I think it's powerful. It's in Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate, which is the gospel of Jesus. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I want to find that narrow gate and help people point to it. At our Thanksgiving celebration, where I provided just an amazing array of meats, at least that's what was in my mind before the family came and before I started to cook it. After the meal, there was a lot of talk about what it's like to live in our world. And there was a lot of talk among, these are high schoolers to first year in college, about what it means to be gender neutral, or what it means to be born one thing but living as another. And then I asked the question, what do you think that means biblically when the Bible says God created us male and female? Well, a lot of discussion. And as Christians, we're called to live on what the Bible says. And that means sometimes we will be offensive to other people. Jesus didn't die to affirm whatever feels natural to every person on earth on a certain day at a certain point, but to point to a better way. It doesn't mean that we reject anyone. We're to be examples of love and acceptance of all, but also to very clearly affirm the gospel of Jesus, which is there's a narrow gate and you enter it through Jesus. You don't enter it through any other gate, because any other gate will lead to destruction. Many mainline churches, too many M's there, many mainline churches have departed from the message that Jesus lived and died for. And we are to care for the hurting, but we're also to stand up for his one way, the narrow gate. And so the main purpose for our life is that our lives radiate the glory of God and point to him, not to ourselves. Why do you live the way you live? Why are you here today? Because you believe that Jesus is not just a fable, but that he lived and died for you, and that he has prepared an awesome destiny for your eternity. And so now we live according to what we believe, regardless of the impact it has on other people, in the same way that Jesus lived and died to demonstrate the reality of God's love and preparation for our lives. One of the things that I love about the season of Advent that's coming is that it's a time to reassess ourselves and to prepare ourselves for what's coming. Am I living the life that I always wanted to live? Am I living in such a way that I believe that I'm an attractive witness for what it means to be a follower of Jesus? And I encourage you to reflect on that as you get ready to celebrate Christmas in about a month. It's an excellent time to reevaluate. And remember this passage from Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men. Don't be fearful of the radiance of your testimony and of your witness. Now let's stand and share together our confession of faith using the Nicene Creed. And as you do that, listen to what you're confessing. It's what has changed your life, and it's what will change your life for eternity. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning's prayers of the people, Form 2, found on page 6 of your bulletin. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Archbishop Welby, for our presiding bishop, Stephen Curry, for our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for Pastor Paul, for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace for goodwill among all nations and the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for all those in any need or trouble. We especially lift up those on our prayer request forms, for Lillian, for Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Irv, Julie, Bill and Judy, Joan, Karen, Lois, Michael, Art, Marilyn, Velta, Rose, Dave, George, and we pray for Friends of Advent, Tony, Sylvia, Kayleen, Eliza Jennings residents. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may be found, they find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have the grace to glorify Christ in our own day. Please join me in our prayer. Lord Jesus, you have called us to follow you in making disciples of all people and promised that you would be with us always. So guide me and all of Advent Episcopal Church in seeing those in need of you as Savior and Lord, that together we may reach them with the message of your love and grace, strengthening us to be witnesses of your saving work, all for the glory of God, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit as one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now let's share that with one another.
let them know.
Safer.
Good morning. So I was busy turning down the heat when we came in this morning for 8 o'clock. It was a little chilly in here, and so now it's warmed up. So Teddy reminds me that I should be Teddy Augustine today with trousers on. Oh, she's got one too. All right. Ladies' Night Out is coming up on December 3rd at the Moosehead Hoof and Ladder. And Paul?
Yes, sir.
What comment do you want to make, sir?
You said it exactly correctly.
So at 8 o'clock, Paul says, you know, I finally found something that Joanne
did wrong. I thought it should be hook and ladder.
He thought it should be hook and ladder. So I said, Paul, I don't challenge Joanne. You better be careful what you're saying. So he got his phone out, and sure enough, it's hoof and ladder. So anyhow, ladies, December 3rd, coming up. Clipboards are going around for the Dan Shudi concert. Jan Nagy is organizing cookies and a reception after the concert. As you will remember in times past when we've had the community concert here at Advent, we provided cookies as a way of having some refreshment afterwards. We want to do the same thing with the Dan Shudi concert. So we need dozens and dozens and dozens of cookies. So please sign up and be generous with your contributions of cookies. Pete Meckes, I think, is lurking. Are you lurking?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Gentlemen of Advent, we will gather again on December 10th, that's a week after the ladies, at Famous Dave's Ribs in Great Northern Shopping Center at 6:30. Good conversation, good food, good communion. So please come.
Good. Thank you, Pete. In the bulletin, we have the green sign-up sheet for poinsettias to beautify the church during the Advent and Christmas time. So please, if you feel called to remember those or give thanks for blessings, you can do that in a tangible way with the poinsettias. Finally, in the lower left-hand corner of your bulletin, let me remind you of some ways that you can help promote the Dan Shudi concert. We have flyers in the back. We have the little circular postcards. Barbara Gage was saying this morning that she keeps some of those little postcards in her purse so that when she has an opportunity to be the light of the world, she can pull out those postcards and give them to people. So I invite you to take some of the flyers, take some of those postcards, and be generous in handing them out. Also, if you have people in your contact list that you would like to inform of the concert, Joanne sent an email a week or so ago with a reminder. You can just take that email, forward it to your contact list, those in your contact list that you choose to do so, and it's a way to communicate the concert coming up. December 14th, 7 o'clock, here at Advent. Marilyn is lurking.
There's a notice in the bulletin about the concert at Southwest Community, and it's at 170 Seminary Avenue. There is one mistake. The tickets are $12.50 ahead of time, and if anyone's going to come, I'd like to know before Saturday so I can give them, you know, you can get the rate for $12.50 and you can pay on Sunday. It has Pat's name in here, but since we're at Advent, you can let me know at, the phone number is 440-779-8834. This way you'll get it for $12.50, and if you go through her and you get it at the door, it'll be $15. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Peace be with you.
Let's take a moment now and present our offerings to the Lord. I believe they've got rhythm. Continue with a great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Because in Jesus Christ our Lord, you have received us as your sons and daughters, made us citizens of your kingdom, and given us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy and peace, and at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
I invite you to come and receive the precious gift that the Lord has provided for us.
People of Advent, this is our season. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.